Mallory McDuff teaches environmental education at Warren Wilson College, a unique liberal arts school that combines academics with work and service. In her new book, Sacred Acts, she documents the stories and strategies of people of faith working to define a new environmental movement where honoring the Creator means protecting the planet. This unique anthology celebrates the diverse actions taken by churches to address climate change through stewardship, spirituality, advocacy, and justice. The book Sacred Acts shows that churches can play a critical role in confronting climate change, according to Mallory McDuff, a lifelong Episcopalian who was raised in a family that integrated faith and environmental stewardship. And we welcome Mallory McDuff to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm glad that I'm in Mexico studying Spanish with my daughters at Nanahuac Language School, so I'm glad to make the connection and it work.
Yes, me too. Thank you very much for being with us. What got you thinking in this way that our faith, our religion, communities could help in combating climate change?
Well, 2 years ago, I published a book called Natural Saints.
Yes.
It was the result of research where I traveled across the country with my two girls to document stories of churches integrating the environment into their ministries. And with that research, I found that so many of the actions they were taking were addressing climate change, even if they weren't using that language. And so I wanted to provide some concrete actions and inspiration and strategies for congregations. So it was my first book that cross-country trip really inspired this book.
Bill McKibben in his foreword says, climate change in particular is now a topic as fit for theologians as it is for chemists. How do you feel that is the case?
Well, I think that congregations can agree on three things: the need to work for peace, the need to eradicate poverty, and the need to care for God's creation. And we have a biblical mandate, a moral mandate, to work for justice and care for creation. And climate change is not just an environmental issue. Climate change is going to have impacts across the board. And so it really is a moral mandate for congregations. And this, if we can frame climate change in this way, I think we'll have more success in getting people on board.
And yet, there are many religious communities who have not gotten on board. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think in our country, for one, climate change has become incredibly politicized. And there's one chapter in the book written by climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe, who is an expert reviewer for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, but she's also an evangelical. And her chapter addresses why has this become such a contentious issue. She finds three reasons for that. One, in our country at least, the evidence of climate change hasn't been easy to see. Confusion is rampant, and the truth is frightening. And she points to the fact that there's a lot of the promotion of the climate skeptics in our media. And really, there's a lot of targeting of conservative media sources that a lot of conservative Christians go to. And the difference in our country is there's a very strong fossil fuel industry that has a lot at stake in this issue.
And so how do we get over that? I mean, so we have the separation of church and state, and yet in this particular case, make the case that, okay, but these communities, these religious, these faith-based communities can make a difference in this fight.
Well, I think we start at the congregational level, and what we've seen is that congregations that have started, for example, addressing through energy audits. That's one way that congregations can start small. And we found that congregations that have begun, for example, working with Interfaith Power and Light, which is a religious response to global warming, it's an organization in 38 states, congregations are saving thousands of dollars per year by implementing the recommendations from energy audits. They start to see the connection between energy stewardship and justice. And then we're finding congregations then getting involved in advocacy. In Georgia, which is, I'm from the Deep South, so I can, I think a lot of people have the conception, well, Georgia, people wouldn't be addressing climate change in the Deep South. Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, they've got 76 congregations have done energy audits and have saved an average of $2,600 by implementing these. They've got 200 more in the pipeline for audits, and these aren't just Christian congregations. These are synagogues, Jewish schools, and they have got people on board looking at energy stewardship and making that connection to what are the impacts of climate change beyond just our congregation.
You talk about the actions taken in Washington State by an earth ministry to spearhead a movement to pass state legislation to make Washington State a coal-free state. And this is a very political movement, isn't it?
It is. But the interesting thing with Earth Ministry, and they are a religious environmental organization, they also house the Washington Interfaith Power and Light Office. And they have joined in Washington State a group called the Environmental Priorities Coalition that each year chooses four legislative priorities for the health of the people and the places in Washington State. For the Coal-Free Washington bill, they and the Sierra Club were the lead organizers for this. And suddenly the environmental community is seeing, okay, wait a minute, the religious community cares about the health and well-being of the people and places in the state. And they've got organized databases. They've got a network of people. And Earth Ministry is doing trainings. And how do you talk to your legislators and say, I'm wanting to care about this issue because I'm a person of faith? So they're approaching this from a religious perspective, and they're being very effective. I think there's a lot of hope. The Washington example, to me, is an example of moving from just congregational or household action to advocacy. And from a Christian response, we think about this as bearing witness to our faith.
And you touched on this a moment ago, but obviously we look at this of what's happening in this country. But obviously this is a fight going on around the world. And it seems in the book that other countries and other people are a little more willing to do this than we are.
I think that's true. And, you know, the interesting thing for me personally is that my personal motivation for writing this book was that the whole issue of climate change, even though I teach environmental education, seemed really overwhelming and really political, and I just wanted to distill it down to some concrete stories and strategies. In the research for this book, though, I found out that in our country, one-third of the media coverage about climate change is devoted to climate skeptics, as if there are two sides to an issue where 98% of scientists have consensus. In other countries like India or Brazil, only 8% of the media coverage is given to questioning the science. And the difference, I do believe, is the role of lobbyists with the fossil fuel industry. So I think this is one of these things where in our country we have to take control of our own actions, because it's too easy to just hunker down and just think about your own individual household. And so this is just a way of really getting those stories out there, because I don't think a lot of people know about these actions of churches.
About a year and a half ago or so, I was visiting a church, and I'm Catholic, and a parish priest got up and during his homily spoke very eloquently about climate change and how the church needs to change their position and the necessity of for us to act in good faith, to be stewards of the environment and so forth. He was quite impassioned, and quite frankly, he was quite political. What struck me was that at the end, half the people in the congregation gave clapped and gave him applause, and the other half got up and left. So this was at a church that I was visiting in this country. So my question is, you know, well, what do you do, you know, how do you get over that? Because, as you say, it's polarizing and divided.
Right. The interesting thing, there was a study that came out just last year that said, that in our country, that looked at, like, the correlations between what is driving the politicizing of climate change. And interestingly enough, the divisive political leadership was shown to be the strongest driver of climate doubt in our country. What I think the stories in this book show is that getting it out of the political realm in terms of not listening to what our legislators are saying, but looking at what can we do in our congregation. Some of the most powerful examples to me have been when people have taken control, for example, of food production within their congregation. So congregations that are growing food in their, you know, in the grounds of their parishes, that food is then going into their feeding ministries. The older folks in the congregation are teaching canning, teaching how to put up produce to the younger people, and they may not even realize how the impact on climate change at that time, but most of our food, as we know, travels almost 2,000 miles from farm to table. And so there are ways from food and energy, I think, are two ways that we can be addressing climate change and doing it in a way that people see the direct impacts. And from there, I think we then can look at the political. But I think people need to start with what are the actions that they can take.
The name of the book is Sacred Acts. It is published by New Society. Mallory McDuff is the author, as well as a teacher of environmental education at Warren Wilson College. Again, the name of the book is Sacred Acts, How Churches Are Working to Protect Earth's Climate. Mallory McDuff, I thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world in your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Sacred Acts, published by New Society. Coming up next, the Congressional Corner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.